Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Om Shri Sai Ram. It is 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Today is the 23rd of July 2014 and you're tuned to our Asia Stream. My name is Karuna and this broadcast is coming to you from the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, India. But it is not live as I had to record it on Wednesday afternoon for a very significant reason which I shall share with you shortly. General weather conditions in the abode of Supreme Peace are peaceful and pleasant, but the political temperatures are rising in a happy way, and that is why I had to pre-record this episode of Morning Glory. Dear brothers and sisters, as you may know, Puttaparthi is now a part of the newly carved state that continues to be called Andhra Pradesh, while the other part has a new name, which is Telangana. Now, the recently elected Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, Sri Chandrababu Naidu, is visiting Puttaparthi today. When you're hearing this broadcast, that is Thursday, July the 24th. He is scheduled to offer prayers in the mandir as well as address a public meeting at the nearby suburb of Inumalapalli this morning. So as you can well imagine, the security and the bandobast, as we call it in India, is super tight in Puttaparthi today. Every possible enforcement agency is on the ground, and I live a couple of kilometers away from the ashram and very close to the venue of Chief Minister Sri Chandrababu Naidu's rally. It is therefore almost impossible for me to get to work this morning. So keeping past experiences in mind, I decided to record Morning Glory on Wednesday afternoon and have requested my colleague Brother Raghu to play the file for me. Lucky for Raghu, he lives inside the ashram right next to the Radio Sai office. We are all so happy for him. And lucky for me today, I get to take a day off and listen to Morning Glory with all of you at home. All in all, it's a win-win situation in a rather unconventional way, I guess. So with a grateful heart, I offer myself at the lotus feet of the love of all our lives, the source and goal of our existence, our dearest Lord, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And at Radio Sai, with love and humility, we bow to the same Lord Sai who resides in each of our listeners. With that, let's take off Morning Glory by reminding ourselves what a sacred month we are going through right now. Millions of Muslims all over the world are currently observing the holy month of Ramzan. Ramzan or Ramadan reminds us of the delights and the gravity of Islam's holiest month. The richness of Ramadan comes through this period of bonding and sharing feasts, of getting up for breakfast and prayers with one's family when the world is quiet, of breaking the fast every day after nightfall in celebration and prayers with friends and strangers. It breaks barriers and it binds Muslims of diverse nationalities and cultures, all in the name of Allah. On that holy note, I feel inspired to share with you some very edifying words from Maya Angelou. The great and now the late Maya Angelou says, and I quote her, "You don't need another person, place or thing to make you whole. God already did that. Your job is to know it." Dear sisters and brothers, let me repeat it for you. You don't need another person, place or thing to make you whole. God already did that. Your job is to know it. How simple and how profound. With that, I'm delighted to bring you the concluding parts of two ongoing interviews on Morning Glory. First, I'll bring you the third and final part of our Trace with Divinity interview with Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore. and our feature presentation will be the conclusion of my colleague Bishu Prushti's interview with Brother Vijay Sai of Bangalore under our Fleeting Moments series. So here now is the last part of my three-part interview, that is Tryst with Divinity interview with Mrs. Vimala Shyam after these important messages.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970 when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and of course tiny little rosebuds which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger. Mm-hmm. And just like a movie or a video, mm-hmm. right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love All, Serve All, we've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, Love All, Serve All, we put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Tryst with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Tryst with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website radiosai.org, or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/tryst, that is radiosai.org/tryst or tryst. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
No. Vimalaji, what you have accomplished in your life is very unusual. I know of many homemakers personally as well who all have very good intentions. They want to serve Swami. They talk with a lot of enthusiasm. But then, you know, when the real moment comes, they say, you know, I have duty to my family. I have to first take care. Swami says charity has to begin at home, blah, blah, blah. And they're not able to commit consistent time and energy to the duties of the organization because they feel it will come in the way of the family life. Whenever they are free and they are feeling a lot of devotion, one time short, I'll go and do something, a feel-good experience. Whereas in your case, it's not, there's a difference between having interest in seva and being committed to seva. Interest is when you have time, you feel like doing something to fill your time, feel good, come back. Commitment is you produce results, no excuses. That's what you have done. What would you say to people who feel that I'm very interested in Swami, I love to hear what Mrs. Vimala Shyam has to say, but it doesn't apply to me. I have my family, my husband, my in-laws, my children, my social circle. What would you say to them?
Yes, this question was posed when I was in Kuwait.
Mm-hmm.
I had to address a new commerce to the Sai organization there in the center. They want me to address the ladies because some of them the same problem they are facing. How to come out of the house to do the service when they have more commitment to the, they feel that more commitment towards the home than coming out of the, and one lady, I had to answer, this is the answer gave me that time because I was spontaneous. I told you, no, it is not me who is answering them. I don't know how I could get spontaneously the answer. The lady asked me the same thing. Madam, I don't mind coming to your place. At the same time, see, your bhajans are 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever it is time. That is a time when my child comes back from school. I have to feed. I have to leave the house and come and do. And how do we manage this? See, Swami also says that your first duty to home and then comes service. How we manage this? She asked me this question. That time my answer was, see madam, yes, I agree that duty to home is okay. But I want to ask you one question. Do you spend all the time serving your family only? You don't go to any club. You don't go to any entertainments. You don't go to anything. You will go. You leave home, adjust and go and come. You want to attend some function. You go. How do you do that? That time your child won't be alone. We are not asking in Sayar every day come and do it. We are once in a week, this many hours. We are specifying. That much only we are asking. That much commitment only the Sayar organization asking. And see, another thing you have to bear in mind. See, when you are going to a movie or a club, the child thinks, oh, mother is gone to a film. Mother has gone to see somebody or some, enjoying herself and all that. Suppose, at the same time, if you come to a service, you are putting into your children's mind this selfless service. It's a noble one, which will make the child a better person, thinking my mother has not gone just to go and enjoy herself. She has gone to serve someone. Mm. This noble thought when enters, see how you are making your children into a, grooming into a very good a child or good citizen who can be a worthy of than going into different. I don't think everybody is 100% staying. You have time for anything. You can make your time. Mm. Suppose your friend calls you, you can make your time. But for Swami, why can't you make a partial time which you can devote? When there is some will, there is some way. So our mind is important. You see, in spite of my having children, believe it or not, in Vrindavan, I used to go early, get up at 5 o'clock, cook for the family, leave. Because my mother-in-law, I didn't have my father-in-law, two children. I have to leave my to the care of my mother-in-law. I can't leave everything because she's elderly people. I can't. Early morning, I used to get up and come to the service because she has given the permission. Again, after Swami's darshan at 10:30, I come back home again. Traveling in a bus, come back to my home and see to that I give food to the family and all that. Again, 3 o'clock, I'll go back to Vrindavan for evening duty. See,
discipline and sacrifice are necessary. You can't achieve any of this without them.
You have to sacrifice to get something better.
Exactly.
Have to bear in mind, you know. You can't balance. Once you are doing a good thing, definitely my family promoting because I'm doing good. I'm not going to enjoy my films.
You're not going to kitty parties and weddings and social events.
Socializing. I'm not socializing. I'm going serving someone that has to be born, that I have seen in my own children later, how they are also, you know, felt that the service is very important.
Well, they had a role model in you. They saw what you did. So we teach our children more by our example than by our lectures.
Yes, that is the way to, you have to look at it. Then definitely you can do service.
I completely agree with what you're saying. I find a lot of people sometimes when we ask for commitment, they say, you know, I have this to do, that to do. And the same people I find, for example, on Facebook, the number of pictures they post of their get-togethers and meeting of old friends, reunions, they have time for all that. But if you ask for a commitment to do something which requires a little bit of hard work, at that time they feel they have a lot of other things on their hand. I think it's a matter of priorities.
Priorities. You see, if
everybody thought seva is as important as you did, like you made it seem like this was your life breath, life would work around it. Everything would fall into place. Everything else would adjust around it. And you raised a perfectly normal family and you have a very functional, nice family, despite the fact that you have committed your life, like you're like a full-time worker 24/7 without a pay.
Swami says full-time commitments, full-time grace, part-time.
Yes.
This Swami must have told. This I have pondered for a long time. This was also a question for me. What does Swami mean by this? Full-time commitment or full-time part-time? Then I came to realize this. See, beginning I was not, what is full time? That means you leave everything and come and do the work. And part time means only part time. Then we only get part time. See, the answer then I got by completely contemplating on this subject. For a long time I did it. Then Swami gave me that realization that full time commitment to full time commitment means, see, day in, day out, while I'm cooking, while I'm working, I'm thinking of the project. My mind is on the project. Not that I'm working my household things, but
Seva
projects, I'm thinking 24 hours it is in my mind. Mm. That is called full time.
Mm.
Not that I'm going out and doing. Mm. So I was planning in my mind 24 hours how I'm going about this. Like, you know, suppose you take up something. Suppose you take up your daughter's marriage. 24 hours you will be thinking how you go arrange everything. Like that, that commitment was there. I used to plan. Part-time means only whenever you feel that you want to do some service, you feel like going, doing, that is part-time. But 100%, not necessary that you should go 24 hours out. But the commitment, that is called Swami quality time. So that is what Swami always says, you know. But even a small work with Shraddha and Bhakti is counts more than lot of things. We have done this, we have done that, we have this. You know, telling our achievements is not what Swami wants. Even you have done crores of rupees of seva, Swami may not be interested. This is what I realized in Swami. Even a small, real, truthful, which touches will reach Bhagavan and makes him happy. That is what my realization.
Beautifully said. Very nice. Vimraji, after Mahasamadhi, you like when Swami was in the form and you were so driven and passionate all your life, the best years of your life when your body has been fit, your senses were all alert, your mind was agile, you have dedicated your life to serving a master. And after Mahasamadhi, he's no longer available in the physical form. Has your dedication to the mission experienced a change? Any difference?
No difference. Because this is my Gulf, before going to the Gulf countries, Swami made me to leave this physical attachment for him. I told you this, I mentioned to you that I was very much attached to him.
To the form?
Form of this. Swami told, no, you should. There, Swami trained me before itself not to get attached. Nothing should change. After I went there, I realized I was very much attached to Swami, physical form. Then once I started, form or without form is no matter for me. It is the same. That spirit is guiding the same. We should be the same. And I can realize Swami anytime, anywhere. This is the realization Swami has given that time. I think maybe he has prepared even after his Mahasamadhi. I think he's more magnanimate and he's more, his energy has spread out and we are more accessible than before.
He's more accessible to
accessible
us.
Wherever you are, you can access to him.
Yes.
You can. You need not run, oh, Swami is there, I have to talk to him, I have to get permission.
We have learned to tune in wherever we are.
Wherever I can be in touch with Swami and I can pray to him.
And you're continuing your good work. You're involved in the setting up of the Radio Sai studio in the city of Bangalore.
Yes, yes. It was, it is, I was thinking, of course, okay, it has come to a level where I can train youngsters to take over and all. The Radio Sai is the one which has come just like that. One day, state president called me. So, will you take over this? Because Mr. S.N. Smoothie was managing this. And will you take over this? I said, yes, this is my habit, saying to Swami yes, because for this reason I will tell you one incident. In Vrindavan, when I joined Sevadal, Mrs. Sarojamma was telling, before I am giving to a scarf, you have to get the permission from Swami to become a real Swami. I will call you when Swami, I want to introduce to you to Swami. That time, that day morning, she told me, go and clean the washrooms, toilets and all that. But I was not used to that. She said, no, it is a Gandhian type. You have to do. Then only you will realize. You have to do it, she said. You know, I said, I took it as a challenge. I went and I cleaned. I cleaned it. I came back. She asked me, Imla, how did you find your work today? Auntie, it's quite a bit difficult to wash, clean the toilets and bathrooms, I said. And there in it, she laughed. Okay, you get used to it, don't worry. She said, and she laughed and she kept going. In the evenings, it so happened, I happened to be called inside to be introduced to Swami among the sevaks, because I was a new entry that time. I came there in front of Vrindavan, Trai Vrindavan. I was standing along with Sarojamma auntie. I was standing with another sevada. Swami came on the balcony. Swami peeped from the window and said, "Oh, what Sarojamma? You are standing. What is the news?" Swami said, "Swami, I have taken a new sevadas, two of them. One is another lady from north, and she was very tall. Oh, yoguru ee tenkai chettu? Who is this coconut tree?" Yeah, he asked. And then he looked at me. She is Vimala Sham. He looked at me and gave a small smile. And I was looking at Swami like this, and he said, "Oh, is it difficult for you to clean bathrooms and the toilets?" I was so, you know, shivered like when I saw Shirdi Baba like that, you know, my whole body started sweating. My goodness, Swami is talking the same thing what I told Sarojamma auntie. And then and there I decided, I never tell this is a difficult work. As long as His grace and blessings are there, anything could be achieved. Only your devotion, your dedication, your submission to Swami is the only matters. Other thing is taken care of by Swami. That is a whole, this one incident carrying me through that when the radio Sai came into my hands, this is the same thing happened. I never said, because I didn't know anything about radio Sai. This, when the mind is set like that, I started thinking how I'm going to do. I started searching who can do this work for me, with me, because some qualified person should be there to do that. Then I started searching any people who worked in radio. I asked Balvika's people. They said, yes, one Balvika's lady who worked in FM radio is there. So I called her. I said, "Can you take up this responsibility, that recording and all that?" And because she is very good, she speaks in it. Vijayashree, she speaks very well. I said, "Okay, I'm used to that. I'm trained. I can help you out." She said, "I can work with you, auntie." Said, "Yes, I have taken her." And so we started work in a small way. Like first with mobile, we started recording that in Ishwaramma Puraskar. First recording she did. It came out very well. And we started uploading, and of course, slowly I developed into a team, and then started proposing by state president that you have to have a studio. We were thinking for a long time, where do you want, where shall we do, please plan for it. Then we started searching, then I said, "We give you in Sai Geetanjali one room where it's a small room." You didn't see this time, I think, that room is, if you can make it.
It's then, a nice studio, I hear. Acoustically,
yeah, small and very,
and you have a nice team now in place.
Yes. And then I was thinking, one is a content team, one is a technical team. That technical team come from youth, from who are
very technology savvy.
These technical people are one Saish, who is a Swami student, who is very interested in setting up music systems. I called him for this reason. He came forward and he took up the whole thing. Entire responsibility on himself, he set up the studio. And of course, acoustics, of course, our state president's brother-in-law, our Bangalore district president, he's a businessman. He said, "I have somebody who does this for I can arrange." So how things fell into place, everything came everything was ready within 3 months. The studio was set for and of course Saish was there, and we along with him 7-8 youngsters were technically sound. They are all engineers who are working. They are all joined him, of course. Even young engineering ladies also there, and with my team, other of course in my content team, elderly people, translators, and we made one group, of course directed by our state president. Mr. Dakappa said, "You make a sort of a group on a committee, like, so that they can carry out the work." So we made a 10 content team like this, two groups who can take the responsibility of recording, that is, has to go on continuously. Of course Saish, now we made the in charge of this. He with the other team members, they divide the work. And of course content team, Vijayashree is in charge. Of course, there are Mrs. Geeta Yadalam, and her daughter, all our team members who are really, she's into interviews, she's conducting, and she has taken some responsibility. Like, we have divided the work. Now, two teens, youngsters, they are grooming into, come into Radio Sai. I think they are making progress. With the, of course, that team has come here to Parthi Studio for training. The and team has arrived, for the technical team has arrived here. Of course, Mr. Bishop Pusti and other, they have trained them very well. And they are so happy. They came back. And of course, recently their visit helped them very well. And they have given some inputs. Now the studio is not only for Radio Sai, for other recordings of the organization, they are helping out. So many now really... Swami's grace, lot of help has been, especially Balvika's bhajans have been recorded. So like this, so lot of things is going on, and really, yeah, I think I am praying Swami, it reaches Swami's lotus feet. Whatever we undertake, it should go on. It should not end with, because whatever projects so far I have taken is continuing even till today, the way I've started, because I've chosen the right people who are also capable and trained very well, and asked them to. So the flexibility is very much there. We treat everyone like our friends, and it is not Swami's love binds all of us, and this carries out the work. Swami work will carry on only through love and understanding with each other. It is like a Sai family. That's what I'm saying. There's no misunderstanding, nothing, because it's a Sai family bounded by a thread of love among ourselves. This makes everything a success. Swami, long back when I was telling, when the group from Gulf came in the interview, Swami, I'm trying to unite. Don't try. You must, Swami said. So unity is the one thing. A group should work in unity, then the success can be seen and the experience of Swami can be realized.
And for the sake of our listeners, the Radio Sai studio in Bangalore City produces the Kannada content for Radio Sai. So we have a weekly program in Kannada, and that is produced by the little team, the small team that Mrs. Shyam spoke of. Now my final question to you, Vimla ji, is all your life you've worked with one pointed devotion to serve. You have no professional ambition, no desire to make money, no great social life. Just serve this object of your adoration, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today, when you look back at your life, who is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba for you?
He is my atmic reality. He's my indweller. He's nothing. We are seeing him in a physical form. Now I am realizing he's within me, he is in myself, whatever thing, it comes from within me. So he is not outside. This is a realization has come to me. So now this body really used for such a good cause, and he has given me this realization after doing over a period of consistent service. I think that realization of that, Lord is residing in our heart. To know this truth, my search has now coming to a realization. When I came here, what is spirituality? What is the result of spirituality? Is to realize that he is within me, he is myself, he is my atma, he is everything. I don't know anything beyond that. I don't know.
But I don't think you need to know anything else either. If you know that, you know it all.
I'm contented, Karnaji. I'm very contented. Because whatever questions with I came as a youngster, now I'm answered with all the experience, all the opportunities. Bhagwan, I'm so grateful to Swami. What all levels he has taken. When I came, everybody said, you have come late, you have not experienced. But he has given more than anybody else. How things happen in my life, it is real. Early beyond, I don't know, so many said, why don't you write a book? I said, writing a book, no, still it has not come. So far I have not an attempt, because nothing has come from within me to say you write a book. Because
I'm, you know, whatever comes to me, I'm doing with 100%. I don't know whether I have to write a book because that, what you call, instruction has not come from within. Somebody, a writer of my Radio Sai, he's a writer, he came, he want to publish a book of devotee's experience. He came with the force. Amma, you have not written anything so far. I want you to write. I said, just I tell you. He said, no telling or something or anything. I know you don't write and give it to me. I come to your house and I sit with you. You write. And I said, you want me to write? Yes. You write something, whatever your Gulf X, whatever it is, comes to you. Please write and give as a one, topic for the devotees. And he gave me a paper and pen. Om Shri Sairam, I prayed to Swami and I put my pen and I started writing. Believe it or not, I don't know how I wrote without stopping. I wrote whatever he wanted. I wrote nearly 1.5 pages. I wrote what I really, I myself don't know what I wrote. It came, you know, it went on, my hands went on writing. He said, you didn't even lift your head to say anything. It went on like, you know, almost when I do something, I am one with that, you know, divine touch has come. That light, the touch, which when you put yourself into that, you become one with that. Like that it has become now. I don't know. When I take up something, it is nothing. It is more than, I don't have mine or Swami's. That difference goes off. It is a priority. It is a priority we have to offer. There is no mine. Then if it comes mine and yours, then still we are not yet realized. Once it is come, Swami's, ours, same. Everything is Swami's work. That's all. There it is. If we come to that reality, I think that is a realization Swami has to come. Not to, seva is only a media. To make self-realization is the final goal. Swami, this avatar has come to give personally. He is not interested in, any outer advertisements or anything. Swami is not interested. Swami never told us to go out and give. He never liked it. He want every individual's atmic enhancement, realization, and realize the human, reality. That what you call manushatva, what you call, we call it a man. We call it is as being a human being. You understand other human being as yours. Empathy.
That
is very nice to hear. That Swami has always told us the goal of life is self-realization. To end the cycle of being born and dying and born, birth and death constantly. And he's always said that seva is the royal path to achieve it. But to sit across from you and to hear how you have actually actualized that teaching of Swami, that you have used selfless service as a mean to reach a stage where you feel oneness with Swami is so enlightening, is so inspiring, is so fantastic to meet somebody who has walked the talk and done it in real life. Thank you so much, Vimalaji.
Thank you so much.
It's really been an honor to have you in the studio.
Thank you
Sai
so
Ram.
Much. Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Sairam, dear listeners, hope you enjoyed the final episode of my Triswit Divinity interview with Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore. Your feedback is very important to us. So please do share your thoughts, comments and suggestions by email. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Before I proceed any further, why not capture the joy of being his instruments and living our lives in gratitude for this grace? The joy that this attitude of gratitude brings into one's heart is hard to describe. So I'm going to let poet Rabindranath Tagore say it as eloquently as only a Nobel laureate can. Tagore says, and I quote him, "Joy is everywhere. it is in the earth's green covering of grass, in the blue serenity of the sky, in the reckless exuberance of spring, in the perfect poise of the human figure, noble and upright, in living, in the exercise of all our powers, in the acquisition of knowledge, in fighting evils, in dying for gains we can never share. Unquote. And on that joyful note, it's time for me to play for you the conclusion of our Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview with Brother Vijay Sai of Bangalore. An alumnus of the Sai University, Mr. Vijay Sai is in conversation with Radio Sai's very own Bishu Prushti. Please enjoy.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And today we continue the beautiful conversation with Mr. B.S. Vijay Sai. He is someone who has had the kind of proximity with Swami which only a few can even dream of. And by virtue of being blessed with tremendous talent, be it oratory or music or writing or acting, directing and so on, he has had some absolutely amazing moments with Bhagwan. And the last time he was here, we did try to attempt to capture some of that, but well, it was only a drop, just the beginning. His heart overflows with stories when it comes to Bhagwan because of the long, deep and intense association that he has had with Bhagwan, and that continues till this day, even now in many mysterious ways. For those who missed the previous episodes, Mr. Vijay Sai joined Babas University in 1987 for his bachelor's in sciences, and then on Bhagwan's instruction and direction, he moved to arts. He changed his discipline and he did his master's in arts, majoring in English, which he completed in 1993. After this, Bhagwan promptly gave him the chance of serving in his university as a faculty member in the Department of English in the Brindavan campus for 5 years till 1998. After this, by divine design, he stepped out and entered the corporate world and worked in the area of human resources. He did his diploma in human resource development and gained valuable experience in this field, which led him eventually to start his own company called Ready Solutions, which is into corporate training in HR and leadership, conflict management, stress management, soft skills and so on. While this was going on, Vijay Sai sir, well, I cannot not call him sir because he taught me English when I was a student in the Brindavan campus. So sir has parallelly ventured into and in fact gained enormous proficiency and laudable recognition in many areas of alternate healing like hypnotherapy, regression therapy, psychotherapy, aura photography, pranic healing, energy healing and so on. He in fact had 300 days of training in all these, shall I say, mind over matter disciplines, and he has in fact done his postgraduate diploma in regression therapy in Tasso Institute in Holland. So, well, that's very little, very insufficient introduction about him, but I guess the most cherishable achievements of his life, the most beautiful accomplishments of his life are the moments that he was gifted with Bhagwan, moments which today reinvigorate his life, which enliven his being and continue to give him new insights every time he thinks about it and every time we hear about it. Because it is such moments which are worth ruminating on, because in them are hidden so many telling lessons of life and keys for permanent happiness as we battle and as we enjoy this sojourn on earth. So I cannot wait for sir to begin. First of all, sir, thank you very much for making it possible, for coming to the studio once again. I really express my deep sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for making it possible. And the last time you were here, you know, you began by sharing about how your parents came into Bhagwan's fold, how your father developed that intense faith in Bhagwan, how your mother's heart was transformed, and slowly how you always had worshipped Swami as God, but then you started seeing a different facet once you became a student, and then you started narrating some of those moments when actually Bhagwan broke the ice with you, right. And then you started enjoying this other physical proximity with Bhagwan.
Another dimension
of divinity. So go on. I don't know where I should ask you to start, because you are loaded with so many stories. So go on and just share some of those beautiful moments that you have had. It could be after you become a student, or if there are any more before you become a student, whatever you feel like sharing with us today, some of those pearls from your beautiful ocean of memories.
Now there are so many, and I'll start picking them up and sharing with you. One thing that comes to my mind right now is that when I was very young, probably I was about 8 or 9, and my parents were discussing, and my father was working in the railways, in the accounts department at Hubli, the South Central Railway, and he wanted to resign from there and get into some business. Mm-hmm. And they had thought deep about it, but they had not decided it, and they thought that we need to seek guidance from Swami. Mm-hmm. In that same interview, because that time I was having some sense, you know, because I was 9, 10, I was able to think independently, and suddenly Swami called us for interview, and without my parents telling anything, Swami told my father, you want to leave railways, mm-hmm. and you plan to do business with 2-3 people. They're actually planning with 5 people. 2 plus 3 was 5.
Oh, okay.
And yes, you do it, and I will help you, and don't worry at all.
Wow.
And also suddenly in the same interview, he actually told my mother and father about a particular argument they had, mm-hmm. which I was a witness to. And he said, I was thinking, oh my God, Swami is aware of so many things. And I was feeling a little insecure inside.
Yeah.
And suddenly he turned to me and also said, see, why don't you listen to what your mother says?
Oh my God.
And, you know, that reprimand. So that awareness he had already created, that I am watching you.
Yes.
I am there in you as the indweller watching you. This feeling was all along there, as I said, that's why I was a Balika student and pre-several student. And as I mentioned last time, it was Swami's 60th birthday that coincided with when I was in my 10th standard. That was a turning point in my life. So thereafter, after all the things I did, there was one more incident which I'd like to bring to your notice. That is, I was in my 12th standard at Hubli. I was studying in P.C. Jabin's Science College in Hubli. I was participating in most of the elocution competitions, quiz competitions, debate competitions and everything. So we had an intercollegiate district level quiz competition,
mm-hmm.
and somehow we had gone to the finals. And in the finals, there was a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, both of us were representing a college. It was supposed to be a very prestigious one, and in those days, this was in the year 1987, in the month of Jan-Feb. And so what happened, I wanted to let you know how he revealed his omnipresence there too.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I was feeling I needed this shield, this rolling shield should be mine. I was visualizing that the next day in the paper I'll have this rolling shield with me, and the photograph will be there. And we were there, we somehow managed to come to the final round, and we were there, we got into a tie with 90 points each.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know what to do. I nervously pulled out the Vibhuti packet, which I used to have in my pocket, put it on my forehead, and I had some. And my friend, who had not believed in Swami that particular time, you know, they say Sankat Pandag Venkat Ramana, that when you have Sankat, Venkat Ramana, he said, give me also
Vibhuti. You think of God.
Mm-hmm. You're compelled to think of God.
Yes.
And there I was tensed. I knew, Swami, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're going to help me. Show me your presence, Lord. That was my strong prayer.
Mm.
Now the quiz master wanted to use a tiebreaker. And the tiebreaker was done by using chits. And they got a lot, and they said, okay, the lot chose, they got a choice of audio round.
Hmm.
So those were the days of old cassette recorder. And the way they would record it for quizzes, they would record the song or the piece or the speech, give a small gap, and again continue it.
Hmm.
So the technical person went and pressed the on button, the play button. But the tape got stuck.
Oh.
So the quizmaster quickly signaled to him to say, use the backup.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what the backup was, and suddenly the voice came, and that made my heart really skip my beat.
Mm-hmm.
The song was, Govinda Krishna Jai, Gopala Krishna Jai, in the voice of Swami. Wow. That was the backup team.
Oh my God.
And here I was thrilled. I was not bothered whether I'm going to win the quiz or not, because I knew Swami has shown me your presence.
Yes.
That's all I require. I don't require anything else. But I was still looking at the opposite team. Are they going to answer this? And they were very confident. I said, oh my God, how could they know? And because 1987, yes. And then they started telling that, yeah, and this is George Harrison of the Beatles who have joined ISKCON. He's singing the Krishna Bhajan. And then the quiz master said, okay, now the team passes to your team. And when it came to me, I said, this is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the top of my voice. And he said, correct answer. And he was surprised.
Oh,
the quiz master also surprised. And we won the entire quiz. And the next day we had that celebration and we were honored. And the audience broke into such an applause. For me, that was not important. My Lord had showed me his presence again.
You never imagined that in a quiz competition, you'll hear Bhagwan's voice.
That too, it's not in Satsai College.
Yeah.
It's a PC Japanese Science College, KLE College in Hubli, in the year
1987.
So Swami reveals to us his divinity and his presence in different ways. And I think only each of us who have experienced it will be able to understand the extent he actually does this.
And I think in that impressionable age, these instances would have just solidified whatever faith you had in Bhagwan, right?
There was no question of solid. The solidification had already happened even before birth. So there was no question of solidifying.
You're only experiencing one more time.
It was reassuring to understand that what I believed in was. Yeah, it was always there. He's again and again revealing himself to me.
Wow. It's beautiful. And I think when you think about it, it was such a great blessing that Bhagwan conferred on you, even before you became a student.
Correct.
He was so deeply installed in your heart.
Right.
And I guess that would have really helped you so much, right, once you became a student.
It's helped me not just when I became a student, it's helped me even till now.
Yes.
Because deep down, I know that I'm never alone. Deep down, I know he's always with me, in me, around me. I'm taken care of. And that particular thing would really, boost me up all the time.
Yes.
Bring that awareness. It's almost like I don't have that word which Swami says, constant integrated awareness. But I have a constant awareness of him being with us.
Being integrated with you.
Integrated with me inside.
Wow. I'm really tempted to ask you about the instances where you felt his presence later. But I think we'll have to wait for that. Please, let us go back to your days in the college.
As a student, okay.
Yes.
As a student, the way I got close to Swami, I told you it's about the speech when I started singing Yam Brahma and that Shiva Manasa Puja, which I did.
Yes.
So thereafter, Swami used to regularly ask me to speak. And he had guided me and told me exactly how to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He used to, I sweat a lot when I speak. He used to teach me how to fold the kerchief and keep in the pocket. And how to use the kerchief. He had taught me all that.
Oh my God.
And because it was like he was showcasing me. It was like, the way we do for our own children now. And that was the way he was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was, the most of the speeches used to happen in the Kalyana Mandapam. And, when the rest of the students would prepare for exams, I used to keep preparing for speeches. And there have been so many instances about speeches. One thing I remember is that one particular day I wrote down the speech as points. I knew Swami will not like it. But even I wrote down the points, because what shloka should I say after what and what song, Telugu song or Hindi song or Doha, which should I, to have a flow. Yeah. It was just an outline.
Outline.
And it was in my pocket.
Mm.
And it was Ram Naomi. And I was very confident that because the whole thing was, confidence was on the paper in my pocket.
Yes.
Then I went and very nicely, I went and took Namaskar from Swami. And Swami blessed me very nicely. Then I stood there. And usually what I used to do is I used to start singing the sloka. It's on automatic pilot. And then slowly take the chit and then I would know the points and speak. And that's not always. I usually speak extempore.
Yes.
And I'd done this once before. And that time Swami had seen me and had not liked it, is what I came to know. And this time, I slowly put my hand in my pocket. There's no chit. I thought I kept it in the
top pocket. So you're speaking now and my pocket is empty.
My pocket is empty.
Oh my God.
And I put my hand in my trouser pocket. It's not there. Then I turn and look at Swami. The chit is in Swami's hand. He's looking at, he had actually picked my pocket when I had done the namaskar. He looked at me and said, speak. Then I said, okay, Swami, and I spoke. But that gave me a lot of confidence. Yes. From that day onwards, I realized one more day I had tried to write it on my hand and he caught me and said, no, you're not going to look at the hand. There's so many tests about speeches that Swami used to give me.
He was just telling you, have your confidence not in what is in the pocket, but what is inside you.
This one memorable incident when it comes to speeches that I remember, one of the most memorable incidents, this was in the Kalyan Mandapam in the year 1988-89, when I was still a second year student. So what happened, it was a Sunday and Swami had come out to Sai Ram shed and had taken the aarti, had come back inside, and I was already ready. I was ready with a speech. I knew that Swami is going to ask me to speak. And I had got ready on grace. So grace, I asked our warden, Sir Narasimurthy Garu, what is grace? He said, daya. So I got ready with daya-related songs and stanzas and poetry from Purandara Dasa. Innu daya bharate dasana mele. Don't you still have mercy on me? And all those things of grace and God's grace and all those things I got completely ready. And Swami said, get up. Are you ready? I said, yes, Swami. See, my boys are ever ready, he said. And I said, yeah, so nice. And he asked me to stand there. I came, I did my namaskar and stood there. And then I was ready for the grace, to speak on grace. Suddenly, Swami threw a surprise. He said, Narsimham, and Sri V.K. Narsimham, the former editor of Sanatana Sarthi, was seated to my left and he was there. And Swami is to my right. I was to the left side of Swami and he was there. Swami turned towards him and said, Narsimham, you tell the topic.
Oh my God.
My boy will speak whatever topic you say. And here I was, oh my God. I was mentally transmitting Narsimham. Say grace, say grace, say grace. Please say grace. But Narsimham did not say grace.
Oh shucks.
He ended up telling, faith and surrender. Oh my God. Faith and surrender. At that point in time, I had no faith for a particular speech. I had no surrender. It was ironic.
I know.
And Swami said, start.
When you're already standing there, I mean, it's difficult.
Yes. But Swami had that confidence. He said, start. I said, Swami, hats off to your confidence in me, Swami. I don't know. And I can't even say, Swami, you speak through me. Because earlier when I said, Swami, please speak through me. He said, if I speak through you, then what is the purpose of you being there?
Oh my God.
Have to speak. You have to get ready and speak. Don't tell us, speak through me without getting ready.
Mm.
And I said, Swami, what is this test, Swami? And I had no faith, I had no surrender. So I again took namaskar, so that I get some more time to think. And I got ready with the first sloka. And the sloka went on automatic pilot. I said, oh God, save me, Swami, sorry, Swami, if I let you down, and, you know, all those things. And suddenly I started. So faith can move mountains. And faith and surrender are twins, like, you know, they're like birds, the two wings of a bird. And all the things about faith and surrender got over in about 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
I ran out of steam. And I almost paused. But Swami, you know, he's that Natkat Kanaya. He was having his hand on his, his chin on his hands like this. And luckily for me, and he looked like this and he said, Draupadi. I said, I got the point. I said, Draupadi did not have surrender before. She thought she had all the strength. And she went on holding it. And she said, oh, Madhura Nivasi, come. Oh, Dwarka Nivasi, come. And he did not come. And finally, when she let go of both the hands and surrendered and said, oh, Hridaya Nivasi, please come. And then only did the Lord come. Over. Swami said, Gajendra. Okay.
This is only between you and Swami?
Only Swami and you. I knew. Because what Swami muttered under his breath, only I could hear. Gajendra, he said. And I said, okay. So Gajendra Moksha also, same thing happened. And the Gajendra was there and the crocodile was there, held, and he kept on trying because he thought he has strength. But finally, he gave up. And only when he gave up completely and told, I don't have any strength, I surrender to you completely, then only did Lord come and save him. And this is what surrender is. Over.
So you're blank after this.
I'm blank actually. And before I pause, Swami again looks at me and says, because he had known all the repertoire of poems and songs I had. So he just looked at me and said, Bettada Tudiyalli. That was a thing back. And luckily for me, what had happened was, Sri V.K. Narasimhan had a strange way of listening to Swami's, all the speeches. He'd close his eyes and listen. So he
full
was
concentration.
He was oblivious and nobody knew what Swami was talking. Bettada Tudiyalli. And I went on telling, Kanakadasas, Bettada Tudiyalli Huttiro Rukshakke Kattenu Katti Neeredavaru Yaro. Who is the one who has watered that huge tree on the top of the mountain? Huttisida Swami, the Lord who has made it to be born, Huttisida Swami Tane Honegaranagi, he has taken the responsibility. Gattyagi Rakshipanidake Sandeha Beda. He is the one who's protecting us. Don't doubt this at all. Kallalli Hutti Kuguva Kappegaligella. Allalli Ahara Vittavaru Yaro. Aduvela Gaduva Mrugapakshigaligella. Allalli Ahara Vittavaru Yaro. The frogs that suddenly grow and are born in puddles of water, and all the animals and beings that are there in the jungle, who's the one who feeds them? The Lord is the one who feeds them. He will take care and nothing to worry at all. And this particular thing, Swami told, I went on singing this song and went on telling this, and the audience was also very happy with this. And then Swami looked at me and said, Yama Rama. And this was a particular song which I had learnt, Yamanelli Kananindu Kelabeda. And Swami used to ask me to sing this song. And a couple of times when I was upstairs with Swami in the room, he used to ask me to sing this song and he used to repeat after me. Mm-hmm. Yamanelli Kananindu Kelabeda. Yamane Sri Rama Sandeha Beda. Don't ask where is Yama. Yama and Sri Rama are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nambida Vibhishanage Ramane Ada. For Vibhishana who had the faith, he was Rama. Nambadidda Ravanage Yamane Ada. For Ravana who did not believe, he was Yama. Nambida Krishnanige, Nambida Ugrasenanage Krishnane Ada. For Ugrasena who he believed in, he became Krishna. Nambadidda Kamsanige Yamanada. For Kamsa who did not believe, he became Yama. And then suddenly Swami added. I said, Swami? Swami said, Nambida Nambida Prahalladanige. I said, yeah. Nambida Prahalladanige Vishnuve Ada, Nambadidda Hiranyakashipuge Yamane Ada. And he became the Yama to Hiranyakashipu, did not believe. And Nambidavara Salahua Namadoreyu. I started translating. The Lord will take care of those who have faith. It was so ironic. I'm speaking there, on faith and surrender, without having faith and surrender. But by then I had known that he will sail me through. You know, he was there. That Natkat Kanaya, he was there. Yes. And he's going to take care of me.
Yes.
And after this, immediately after this, a couple of things that Swami again nudged me and directed me to speak. And I did it. And suddenly Swami looked like this and said, Sai will take care. Sai will take care was a particular poem,
mm-hmm.
which I'd learnt as a psalm in my St. Michael's school, Hubli,
oh.
which is God will take care, which I had to tell in front of Swami. And Swami was so happy. And as I told this poem, it was, I was actually in tears because he had given me a test to speak on faith and surrender of all the topics. And here I was without faith and surrender. And the poem was, be not dismayed, whatever betide, Sai will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, Sai will take care of you. Sai will take care of you through every day or all the way, he will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied, Sai will take care of you. Everything you ask, he will provide, Sai will take care of you. Sai will take care of you through every day or all the way, he will take care of you. However hard may be the test, Sai will take care of you. And when I said this, I was thinking, oh my God, Lord, this is a test. How hard may be the test? Sai will take care of you. He will lean the very one upon his chest. Sai will take care of you. And finally, the last line came with such emphasis. Sai, because you know, it was the proof of what had happened at one point in time.
Absolutely.
Sai will take care of you. Through every day, over all the way, he will take care of you. And I looked at at Swami and said, Swami, that's dunna pota. He said, that was a blessing. I just took namaskar and then realized, Swami, Swami often reminds us, you know, become a flute.
Yes.
Allow the Lord to play through you. But you know, our ego creeps up here and there. Very difficult to become the sort of flute. Yeah.
What an experience. And what a beautiful way of teaching you about faith and surrender.
Correct. But you know, at that point in time, you know, I was so nervous.
Yeah, I know. I can understand.
You know, there were two parts of me. One part was, I know the Lord of the universe has directed me. Once he tells me, he'll give me the strength to do it.
Correct.
Other part is, what if I let him down?
Exactly.
What if I let him down?
Yes.
Swami is asking me to do because with a lot of faith in me.
Yeah.
What if I let down his faith in me?
Exactly. But I think by and by as we go on, we realize that, right? The moment he asks us to do something, he gives us a responsibility. He's so much with us. I think with time
he'll never ask us to do any task till he gives us the capability to do it. He automatically gives us the capability to do it, the wherewithal to do it, and only then he asks us to do it. And that way, Swami is a very good HR person, and a very good resource manager.
Absolutely.
He knows what resource who has, and he only asks them to do that.
Okay.
He had told me, because I had tried to serve some food sometime, which I had spilled, I'm a little clumsy, and had dropped that. He said, you don't do serving, okay? you just speak and sing. You speak and sing, you don't do any serving, you don't do anything else.
Absolutely. I mean, you cannot find a better man manager. In fact, he's someone who can not only make you a perfect man, he will turn you into divine. I mean, that is what he is.
Correct.
Wonderful. So what were some of these? I mean, these are such profound lessons of life, and that is the advantage of having, you know, when God comes down in flesh and blood.
Correct.
Otherwise, we would never ever experience, you know, never ever be able to experience this much love and know how God is.
Really, really. No, if many people ask me, so is Swami God? I say, I don't know. To say something is somebody is something, I'll have to see the original thing. There's nothing to compare.
Yeah.
But is he love? Yes. Total love, compassion, yes. And if love is God, then Swami is total God. That's the form I've seen. Because I've not seen Rama. I know it's in Krishna. I know. Heart of heart, just like I know this is my mother, this is my father, I know he's God. But my experience is more of experiencing his love rather than his divinity. And there's his compassion that is there.
Absolutely. Amazing. In fact, I was reading some of the articles that you had written earlier as a student and even later. And, you know, in that you have mentioned so many amazing instances. I mean, it goes as an essay where you are saying that, you know, which incident should I narrate? Should I narrate the incident like how you mentioned when he picked my pocket before the speech? Should I narrate the incident when I had the audacity to ask for a picnic? Should I mention the incident when, I know, I had this wish of touching his hair? It went on. I mean, there's so many beautiful moments like that.
The picnic thing happened in Prashant Nilayam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Swami used to come out to the balcony in the afternoon, and he used to talk from there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to come, it was during the vacation time, around Dasara time. So one day Swami sat, stood like this, and then suddenly asked, so, what shall we do? Swami said. I suddenly said, Swami, we will go on a picnic. Swami said, huh? Swami will go on a picnic. Buddhi ledu. But it had gone. Because again, when I mentioned that in Kodaikanal, he said, correct. Why don't we go for a picnic?
Wow.
He asked, and then we had gone for the particular picnic in the forest. It was a beautiful thing that we had had.
So the first time, right?
It was the first time. It was first
so how was that experience?
Oh, it was absolutely divine, you know. Even now when I look back at some of the videos, some of the clippings, and you know, Swami had booked this particular place, and you know, it was exclusively for us. And we had all gone there, and Swami had to cross a small stream. We had to hold his hand and make him cross there. And we had games there. Swami loved the passing the parcel game.
Wow.
And passing the parcel, and each of those VIPs and others doing whatever they had.
What did you do?
That time I was in the wrong side of Swami. I was very upset about so many things. One particular photo which was uploaded recently on Facebook, and I remembered that. I was not in the photo. I was wondering what happened. Then one of these people reminded me what happened in that photo. Because I was trying to take the photograph.
Oh, okay.
And all of them were huddled together. And I started walking. Myself and Arnold were taking the photo. And we started one step behind, two steps behind, three steps behind. So I was standing careful. And I did not. Because I had to cover the whole crowd.
And suddenly
I slipped and fell. I fell, they all began. So I was just laughing.
Oh my God.
And the other person is taking the snap with all of them laughing. Why are they all laughing? And where am I in the photo? And then Arnold said, you were actually there. All of them were laughing. Oh my God. The picnic things were wonderful. Swami created so many things there.
So Swami did have a lot of fun with your size.
Yeah, Swami had a lot of fun with my size, and he used to tell Narasimha Murthy Garu, a warden, that don't give him food and don't allow him to eat and don't do that and don't do this. And there are a lot of things about this. So in Kodaikanal, it so happened that, I love sweets, you know. There are two kinds of people. Some people do dieting, some people die eating. I belong to the second category. And so what happened? I was sitting in the dining hall. The same batch, Ravi and all of us had gone. And I was sitting in the... I did not want Swami, because Swami would always come to my plate and say, don't eat that and don't eat this and don't... Kodaikanal. I said, Swami, please, Swami, I want to eat. I love food.
And that took Kodaikanal. And Swami, every day is like... it's an irresistible banquet.
Correct. And that particular day, I saw Laddu was served. I said, wow, Laddu today. And I actually had to keep waiting. I was impatient because we had to wait till Brahmarpanam is over. And I purposely sat as far away from Swami as possible. That corner, right side corner, from 5 or 6 tables away. And Swami was here, and Brahmarpanam started. And all of us, Swami wanted to insist on closing eyes. So we closed our eyes. And I finished my Brahmarpanam. And the only thing during Brahmarpanam was the laddu. Okay, I'm going to start with that and probably ask for... I opened my eyes. There is no laddu. There is no laddu. Then I looked at the person to the right. I said, where is my laddu? He said, I don't know, sir. I don't know, Vijay. I was a student. I asked the person, where is my laddu? Give me my laddu. Nothing. And suddenly I saw Swami watching from there. Amy. Swami asked. I said, aim lit, Swami. And then... Subbappaya, the cook, signaled me from behind Swami that Swami had actually come to my plate when I was closing my eyes, and that picked the laddu and gone.
Oh my God.
I said, oh my God, Swami, if you're taking so much care, thank you very much. And I did not eat that day. This was one thing. Second instance still happened when, even after that, I was not eating. So Swami used to give groundnuts to everyone, groundnuts or something, and he used to offer it to me. I said, Swami, and then he put it in his mouth. You know, again, he used to offer it to me. I said, Swami, he used to put it in his mouth. And everyone used to laugh. And I was the butt of all these jokes. So that particular day, we had gone to this L&T Ramakrishna sir's house, you know, with a place where the Kodaikanal receives umbrellas and photographs with umbrellas and a hat, that particular place.
Mr. A. Ramakrishna.
Late Sri A. Ramakrishna. Yeah. And when we had gone to his house, you know, naturally, sumptuous lunch was there, because after all, you know, they want to, Swami doesn't eat at all, although they prepare everything for Swami. And that's many times it happens in Kodaikanal, when Swami was in the bus, Swami got into the student's bus, and the bus was going. And what we did, the Swami's car, Benz, was the red Benz, was going in the front. Mm-hmm. And the bus was following the Benz.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, chudu, see, all the people were bowing down with folded hands at the Benz. Swami said, see, that is company. Mm-hmm. The Benz was in my company, so it is getting namaskars. And now I am in your company, I have lost all my namaskars. So, we are just the zeros. He is the one, and he makes us the VIPs because we are with him.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, these people treat us like kings.
Absolutely.
And they prepared sumptuous dishes and so many varieties, and they served us all, and we all sat there and ate. I already had my full, normal full. Suddenly, I saw a twinkle in Swami's eyes. I realized, oh my God, he's up to something now. I hope I'm not at the receiving end. But Swami called the people and told them something, all the ladies, the head, the person who was serving. In a line, they all came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And take a second helping. I said, no, I'm already full. Swami said, he's shy. He simply tells like that. He loves food. Serve him. And everyone had completed their food. Everyone had finished. I was also full. And they all served one more cup. Then Swami looked around and said, okay, all of you who have completed having your food, come, let us go for photographs. And then he looked that side and said, food is God, don't waste food. Then he told this lady looking at me, baga chusko, inka tintadu vadu, inka baga chusko.
Keep serving him.
Take good care of him.
Oh my God.
Divine instructions for her and she is ready. And here I did not know what to do. I started eating. I said, oh my God, I can't.
You cannot leave it.
I cannot.
Food
is God. Then I waited. And all
even
these
if
people,
you want to leave, the lady will not
the
allow.
Lady will not allow. And after I went on eating slowly, and I want to photograph. I can't miss the photographs, right? And by the time I was 5-10 minutes had passed, and all the lady also started looking outside towards Swami. I thought the right moment. I ran, left the plate, washed my hand, and ran. I was a lot. You know, all the people had finished the photograph with Swami, and I was there. Swami saw me coming, moved, and said, "Too late, sir. Too late, sir," and went off. So the punishment was, I missed the photograph.
In the pursuit of food, you don't know what you'll miss in life. Some you are telling us.
Really.
Basically, in the pursuit of the world, sometimes you might miss the divine.
About you talking food and sweet. So, another thing that happened was, this was in 1993. In the month of August, Krishna Janmashtami. And there were three pairs of covered calf that had been bought, and somebody had gifted it to Swami. And because Swami had said, "I'm not going to stay in Vrindavan because there are no cows," and somebody had given the cows to Swami, and Swami said, "Okay, I'll do the Krishnashtami in Vrindavan." And that evening, I was down, and only myself and one more boy was sitting. They were sitting down. Swami had gone for dinner, and all the boys had gone to the hostel, and we were supposed to go upstairs and sleep there. And suddenly I heard the voice, Vijay Sai. So I came running and saw in the central hall, Swami was there. Swami asked, "Ninge sweet ishta la? You like sweets, right?" I said, "Yes, Swami." Swami said, "Come." So I went up. Then Swami said, "You know, because the cow is there, we have done ginnu. Ginnu is with the milk, they boil the milk and make ginna, they call it in Kannada, ginnu, they call it in Telugu. We have done the particular sweet with the milk because the cows had come. You love it, I've kept something for you, come." Wow. And I went there. And I saw Shri Srinivas there, and Balram sir there, Jogarao sir there, and all these people are there. And Swami is telling, "Eat." And Swami himself there and told, serve, Subhapaya, serve. So that was there, the plate was there, and it was served. And I looked at it and ate. And Swami said, "Chala Bhagunda." I said, "Swami, Bhagundi, Swami.
Is it good?"
"Is it good?" "Yeah, Swami, it's very good, Swami." And Swami said, "Tinu." I said, "Okay, they served me." And again I ate. And again they served me, and again I ate. And that time, I started looking at the body language of Jogarav sir and C. Srinivas change a little. I was wondering, why are they changing the body language? Swami said, "Ha, nice, eat, serve some more. And as I was eating, then Swami said, "Chudu na chapaleda, see, didn't I tell you? Brahmana, bhojana priya. See how much he's keeping eating. Didn't I tell you?" And then I realized this also is a trap. He had told him before only that this, look at this guy eating. And later on I asked everyone what he was, and what he had said. Everyone said, "You just watch this guy eat. It's a pleasure to watch him eat," is what he had said. And he had called me. And then I was the bakara, thinking that, wow, he's called me to ask me to eat this very sweet. And then I thought, Swami, what's this, Swami?
I think there is, but I think there are very few people who can make Swami laugh. And you were able to do that.
I was able to do that. And I actually could take a lot of risks to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of risks to do that.
He gave you that proximity. Yeah. Gave you that liberty.
I still remember once in Prashant Nilayam Mandir, he was very cross with me.
Mm-hmm.
Very cross. Every time the mic came to me, he used to push the stool and get up and go. And whenever I sang, he used to walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not want to, and whenever I sing, he used to close his eyes. And it was a time when I was being tested. I actually said, "Okay, Swami, today we'll see whether you laugh or not." So, I was in that particular mode. So, I asked the people to put two Madhyam Minor. And that day, Swami was wearing this yellowish-orange pitambar robe. And I started with a lot of lilt in my voice. Manabangaru Pati Baba. Swami opened his eyes. Hey, Dharmush call. He said, I immediately changed it to Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then Swami laughed. And Deshkumar sir was there. He went on telling Pichi Petti, he started signaling him that his crew is loose. But he laughed. There I said, Swami, there. I got you laugh. The people said, what the hell did you do? I said, see, it is a divine relationship I had. I wanted to make him laugh because he was frowning all along when I sang. I'm glad I could make him laugh. I've done so many things. Now when I look back, I think, oh my God, from where did I get all the guts to do this?
Yeah.
It was because Swami behaved like the mother. Swami came down to our level. When he says, I descend down to your level so that you ascend, it's so true.
Yeah.
That, and I think we have never seen him as God because only alone he's God.
Yes.
With children, he's a child. With a woman, he's a woman. And with a man, he's a man. So I don't think we looked at that particular aspect at all. But we just know his loving aspect and this particular relationship that we shared.
Yes. Amazing.
Sai Ram, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You just heard the final part of our three-part Fleeting Moments interview with Mr. Vijay Sai of Bangalore. Please share your feedback to this interview and all other Radio Sai programs by email. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. We have enjoyed your company on Morning Glory this morning. Let us hope our traffic and life in Prashanthi Nilayam will resume to normal soon. As I told you earlier on, the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh, Mr. Chandrababu Naidu, is visiting Prashanthi Nilayam today and also addressing a public rally in nearby Inumalapalli. I'm sure the government is very well aware of the importance of this sacred spot in days, years and centuries to come. On that happy note, I would also like to draw your attention to the recent story on Prashanthi Nilayam and the Sai Mission and the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust that has been published by India's leading news magazine, India Today. In India Today's upcoming issue dated July 31, 2014, page numbers 34, 35 and 36 carry an article entitled Eternal Empire of the Living God. The digital copy of this article, Eternal Empire of the Living God, published by India Today, is already available in the public domain and you can grab a hard copy of the newsstands shortly anywhere in India or at an Indian store near you if you live outside of India. With that news tip, we wish you a fantastic, fantastic day ahead. May Swami guide you and guard you and think, speak and work through you every single moment. Up next, Raghu with Service Love in Action, loving Sai Rams from all of us at Team Radio Sai.